for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Hebrews 10 and verse 37. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 25. The Mystery of Christ, the Hour of Testing. Scriptures. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them from his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Psalm 2, verses 1 to 9. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like the potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But be thou not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Psalm 22, verses 7 to 21. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye, the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Psalm 22, verses 22 to 28. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, and there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also the gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Psalm 69, verses 16 to 21. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 31-39. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, verses 8 to 14. End scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Then being as he is in spirit. Again. Then being as he is in spirit, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ sitting upon the high places of the Spirit, before a crucible of burning. This crucible of burning was the life of the overcomer, held up before the Lord of the whole earth. It matters not which overcomer. It is the soul of any person who desires all that the Lord has for them. The heat by which this crucible did melt the precious gold therein was powered by the same Spirit of the Lord which does configure itself into the lives of those who would be cleansed of all soulish and spiritual infirmity. By the intensity of his gaze, the heat applied to the precious gold therein was burnt both from the bottom as well as from the top, wherein his gaze did penetrate. No matter who the overcomer is, the trials of life will come from all elements around their life, as the Lord will use everything to create a cleansed walk. He did look with increased intensity into the midst of the gold to discover that it had all become molten, all the while removing the dross from off the top of the burning crucible. The Lord did not look at the dross. He simply removed it by the rod in his hand. It was the gold that he was seeking and finding. In the midst of your tribulation, you may only see the dross, but the Lord Jesus Christ sees the gold. End vision. Second vision. Being then held in the midst of the atmosphere above the earth, and held below the place of my feet in the air, then the surface of the earth. Again, being then held in the midst of the atmosphere above the earth, I beheld below the place of my feet the air, then the surface of the earth. That's an ascended position. The earth was covered with deadened life, plants and creatures all subject to futility and death, and the element of dying was not removed from any part of creation. Throughout the earth were very high mountains and very low valleys. I saw that the Spirit of the Lord moved by the power of the proclamation of the kingdom of God and the fulfillment of the mystery of Christ in the earth to accomplish a work, even a work that is to be in this very hour in which we now find ourselves in. A work that is being cut short for righteousness' sake. As the Spirit of the Lord went forth in the power of his word, the mountains sunk down, and the valleys filled up, and the earth became level and plain, and there was no high place, neither was there any low place to be found. However, at the very same time, the earth, which was covered in the curse, entered a state of complete death. All that was within it died, and nothing in it survived the word that came forth proclaiming the kingdom of God. For nothing of death, or that is defiled by a curse, can enter the kingdom of God. Only that which is of his new nature, found only in the Spirit of life in Christ, can enter the kingdom of God. So I saw that the entire earth became a barren wasteland. The valleys were filled, yes. The mountains were brought down, yes. But nothing was left alive. All entered complete death. This is indeed a working of the Spirit of the Lord, even in this hour that is now upon us. The vision is to be continued. End visions for now. Continuing on in the mystery of Christ and opening up to our understanding the points of his life that yet need to be worked into us, we are given provision in the scripture for living in the new created state. But at the same time, we are living in bodies of flesh and blood, subject to iniquity and the duality by which iniquity works to assail the life of an overcomer. One cannot be blended in a mix this way. There is a definitive separation. Flesh is flesh, and spirit is spirit. The old creation will never blend nor mix with the new creation. He that is in Christ is a new creation. Old things, that is, the things of the flesh, has passed away from this new creation. For the old creation, the life is built up to protect itself from anything that would cause it to die. Hence the war, which is part of the phenomenal struggle of this very hour we are in. 1 John 4, verses 1 to 8 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." Christ has come in your flesh, or if you will, he resides within you in absolute holiness and totally perfect. Let me read that again. Christ has come in your flesh, or if you will, he resides within you in absolute holiness and totally perfect. And you are joined unto him in perfect union as one in spirit. We await this unveiling, which will manifest that which is only of the new creation. For this to happen, our bodies must change. One cannot fully manifest the new creation while still living in a body wherein the blood of that body has not been cleansed. Neither can they be cleansed in that blood until the Lord does it by his appearing and exchanges your blood for his. The new creation that is your life in Christ is your heart is perfect, but it can be defiled. One must always know that the defiling can come to a person in either body, soul, which is emotions, or spirit, power of personal will, power of will, when iniquity is given place. I am most sure that the readers of these things are not novice enough to not realize that this defilement can come when a person yields to incorrect tendencies that surround them. Nothing in this world is a correct tendency. Everything is defiling, hence the need to be separated unto the Lord alone. This defiling is Antichrist. It is the confession that you are not complete in him. You are. However, that is in your new inner man that this completion resides. And it is in this new inner man that is to control your life and manifest in your life at all times as one yields to the Lord daily. So Antichrist in you would confess that Christ in you is not real, but a delusion, a ruse, a hopeful condition which will someday take you over. Therefore, you are free to live in the flesh, because you only have a hope that Christ will one day reside in you fully, without measure. Christ in you says he is in you now, not later. But at this very present moment, Christ abides in you eternally, and he has made his abode in you, coming unto you and living in you as his chosen vessel. So the Lord sees this epic struggle of the mind, in that there are within a person the lies of Antichrist, stating that you only have hope of Christ, and Christ residing as one with your spirit in the power of the kingdom of God, stating that he has come and is residing in you presently. You try anything that comes to you from any other vessel to see if they are agreeing that Christ is in you of a truth. That the agreement you would have from any other ministry or person who names the name of Christ is that Christ is one with your spirit. It is because of the ability we have to defile ourselves that the heat is turned up, because we can contaminate our knowledge of Christ within us. We have to find that ability as being the fuel for burning, that element within you which is subject to his fire. Know full well, you can be defiled. You can perish in your walk. You can find yourself outside of that which was perfect in you, because you gave place to the wrong thing. Hence, the fiery trial which is to try you, to remove from you any thought that Christ is outside of your person, to remove from you any false prophecy which would give you a place that is outside of the design of Christ for your very life, and for that perfect place in his body which he fits you. In the mystery of Christ, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of being that which is yet to come, not that which is based on an imperfect end. Now the Antichrist in you will tell you that you have hope of his one day coming, but Christ in you will tell you that this hope is in you now as the earnest, the down payment of the promised acquisition. And that acquisition is the full consumption of your person, body, soul, and spirit in a new glorified body. This we will see when we study the mystery of our change. So then, Christ has come in your flesh. He has arrived there and is building in you a perfection and a purity. The fire is on. The heat is turned up more and more, and the trials are more intense than ever before. For the overcomer, the very initiative is under his gaze. He is testing you to see exactly where your loyalties lay. This testing has come to each and every one who is called to be part of the army of the Lord. They are right now in a holding pattern, still, compliant, as vessels before his eyes which are as a flame of fire. They sit, waiting until his gaze has penetrated them completely. It is so that they will know they are cleansed in every single place of their persons and in every part of their being before the Lord. But before that knowledge comes to them, the Lord has a work to do, a strange work, a work done in the fire of his jealousy. And this work is a holy work, perfect, and no overcomer will fall short of it. The Lord will bring the overcomer down to meet their personal beast. Again, the Lord will bring the overcomer down to meet their personal beast. That part of their life which is of the raging element of that which is ready to die. Again, the Lord will bring the overcomer down to meet their personal beast, that part of their life which is of the raging element of that which is ready to die. That nature in them, which was cursed long ago in the Eden of God, but ended up being spread through human history. For the beast that gages war, and fights against the saints to overcome them and kill them, is in you. Again, for the beast that gages war and fights against the saints to overcome them and kill them is in you. But now the tables are being turned. The saint, instead of being killed by the beast, is now going to kill the beast in themselves. You, dear reader of these pages, are being reduced by the heat of the holy fire of the crucible of burning, all in order for you to face your beast, overcome it, and kill it. Again, very important. You, dear reader of these pages, are being reduced by the heat of the holy fire of the crucible of burning, all in order for you to face your beast, overcome it, and kill it. This is the time for this to happen. It is happening right now, and it is happening only in the lives of they that overcome. This is a holy work. It is a work done solely by the Spirit of the Lord, and it is a work that cannot ever be repeated once it has taken its full course in you. Note these words. This is a one-time thing. It is the time wherein you will finally reckon yourselves dead completely and will emerge to walk only in the Spirit. Your countdown has begun, and your interaction with your own carnal nature in the form of this beast is taking place even now in the hour of testing. And if you face your own personal beast, and if you see it for what it is, that Antichrist that is in you, you will kill it. The point of your trials, the preparations for you to march with the army of the Lord, to set this creation free, all of this has boiled down in the crucible of burning to this very minute of time. You are now looking in the mirror. First, you will see the beast. Secondly, you will see Christ Jesus the Lord. For this will cause you, while you are yet in your body of futility, to emerge to walk only in spirit. The very last thing after this will be the clothing upon you of your eternal glorified body. The Lord is coming for a holy people in whom there is nothing defiled. The beast in them will have been killed. They will be a holy people, walking in the new creation, with nothing of the old nature left other than the futile body of flesh, which will now be changed. It is an amazing thing that is happening. The Lord is allowing the most horrendous apparitions of your flesh to haunt you daily. That which you would not do, you do, and that which you want to do, you are helpless to be able to accomplish. Mark my words and remember them well. This is so you can face your own personal beast. Once you see it, you will kill it. It will no longer kill you. This descent to view this flesh in you is a real working, but know that it is the gaze of the Lord's fiery eyes to discover the gold of the new creation in you, and hence the removal of all dross. The removal of all dross. This is working hand in hand to deliver you from yourself. I know that some will not think they have this struggle. Those who do not have this struggle should only be the mature fathers amongst us, those who have been long in the process of His image being made in them, and who are only consumed in love and worship to their Lord. For the rest of the ranks of the army, the process is still taking place, and it is fast coming to a successful conclusion, never to be repeated in their lives ever again. Before you receive your new body, before the Lord comes again, bringing those who have passed on before with Him, before you enter your full rank and standing in the army of the Lord, that precious army which will end death in this creation, before any of that, you will kill your old nature flesh, and you will arise in the power and glory of that new nature in you. The beast shall be taken, and the false prophet, and that which worships the image of man in his fallen condition, these shall be removed from you. And this working is taking place right now. You shall see these cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, and you will be a new creation, a first fruit, a member of the man-child company, part of the two witness company, part of they who as an angel bind Satan for 1,000 years into a bottomless pit. You, dear overcomer, rife in trials and testings, this is happening now, even unto you. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.